Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are glad you've joined us today. We are live this Sunday, as we always are, now in our seventh year on the air on this radio station. And it's always exciting to come in here and sit down behind this microphone, Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor, is right in here in the studio with me today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are glad that you've joined us from every corner and part of the world. And, you know, it's exciting, PJ, and that's his nickname, by the way, Pastor Jim. But it is exciting to know that we have listeners in so many different states and so many different areas. And it's fun to know that, you know, that the miracle of technology these days is so amazing that we can just, you know, be so many different places at once.
Right.
Just,
it is amazing, because you think that through the internet, we can reach more people than Paul did.
Oh, absolutely. And yes.
Of course, with that, I personally feel comes a great responsibility.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
That, you know, we can reach, you know, maybe hundreds of thousands of people at one time or through the internet. And, you know, that's a huge responsibility.
It is. It is, and we do our best every week, week in, week out, to bring the Word of God to you in a fresh approach with our radio team, some chatting about the and teaching the Word. But we are a Word-based church and ministry, so we are a Word-based radio show, and it's all about what the Word of God can do for you in your life. And I tell you, Pastor Jim, you share the same love of the Word of God with me that I have. And it is, that's the answer to all of life's problems. It's found in the Word of God. And people just don't even, I mean, the Holy Spirit is the best counselor we'll ever have. You know, we counsel, you and I counsel, and Connie, but I mean, the Holy Spirit's the very best counselor.
Yes, well, that's one of his names.
That's right, counselor. That's exactly
As you brought up this morning, he's the paraclete, the counselor.
He is. He's our helper. He's our advocate. And it's so amazing how he helps us through difficult situations in our lives. And I've been going through several things recently with my children and grandchildren and almost great-grandchildren that are due here any day. And with all of that said, it's the Word of God that I've been speaking over all of them, that they are speaking in their situations, that changes everything, PJ.
Well, and I don't want to, just a couple of things here, because I have a former coworker, and we're friends on Facebook, and he's an atheist, and, you know, very derogatory about the Word of God. And there may be, you know, there may be some people out there saying, well, yeah, that word stuff doesn't work. It does, because the Bible says it is not just inspired, but God-breathed. God breathed it out.
It's, amen.
It has the Bible, the Word of God, has the life of God in it. But in order to appropriate that life and those promises, you have to believe that the Bible is what it says it is, that it's the Word of God, that the promises are true, that everything in it is true.
Amen.
You know, if you just say, well, okay, I'm going to quote the scripture that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if you do it like that without believing it, without understanding truly, greater is Jesus and the Holy Spirit within you than the evil one in the world, it's not going to do you any good. You can quote scripture till you're blue in the face.
It's not a magic charm.
Exactly. It's not like some amulet you can wear.
Right.
Or some spell you can cast. You have to believe it. That it is what it says it is, that it is, well, Paul says it is the, you know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
I was just thinking of that. Well, I turned to 2 Timothy, but I was thinking of that Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed
of the gospel.
Of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Exactly.
That is Romans 1:16. I was thinking of that. You just quoted it. And what you just quoted here a moment ago about Scripture being God-breathed is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And you just said it, and I'm going to read it in the NIV. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's why God has given us a written word. Jesus is the word. But Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father. And then Jesus began to speak the word. And Jesus, even when he walked this earth, and I love this, I'm already on a preaching rant here.
You are.
When Jesus walked this earth, PJ, he quoted the word of God all the time, like he did that day of the temptations with the devil. It is written.
Right.
And he started quoting the word, and it's all about the word of God.
And when he was confronted by the Pharisees and
right.
the scribes, he came back with the word.
He came back with the word.
He said, you know, you're wrong because you don't know the word of God or the
That's
power
it.
Of God.
That's it. And I think the world is full of well-meaning people, Pastor Jim, who believe God, love God, but they don't understand the power of this Bible. This is my cute little green Bible. Video audience here.
And it's not her sword of the Spirit. It's her penknife of the Spirit.
It is. And I love it. I love this little NIV. But you know what? People so often dismiss the power found in these pages and these books of the Bible.
Right. And the other thing is, and I know we're going completely off topic.
That's all right. It doesn't matter.
The other
we're
thing
good.
Is people attribute to Scripture things that are not in Scripture.
Oh, all the time.
Like, oh, God moves and God works in mysterious ways. I defy you to find that in the Bible anywhere.
Right.
It says, we have the mind of Christ.
Right.
We can tap into what God's doing.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, you're right. There's all those
slogans.
Those slogans, things that people just assume are scriptural.
Right.
But they're not.
Right. So. Exactly. Boy, we're going to have a great discussion today, you and I here. All right. We are in this new series. It's called Alive with Five. It's five chapters. The book of 1 John, five chapters. Coming alive with five. And so we are going to get into some great teaching. Get your Bible and find the book of 1 John. It's clear at the back. And we are going to talk about this in a moment. But we're going to start out with a song by Sidewalk Prophets. Great newer group. You Love Me Anyway. Here we go.
The question was raised as my conscience fell. A silly little lie. It didn't mean much, but it lingers still in the corners of my mind. Still you call me to walk on the edge of this world, to spread my dreams and fly. But the future's so far, my heart is so frail, I think I'd rather stay inside. But you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever.
Would you love me anyway? I am the sweat from your brow, but you love me anyway. I am the nail in your wrist, but you love me.
Wow, that is so amazing. PJ, you got some tears coming down right there.
That part where they're talking about Judas, you know, nails in Jesus' wrist and, and Judas' kiss, but you love me anyway. and he says, I don't understand this. You know,
right.
In the song he says, you know, and how many of us,
right?
I don't know that we can understand it. And I think we just have... I know, I hear that, and that, I mean, it just pierces my heart
right.
almost every time I hear it, because I know how sinful I am.
Right.
And, but he loves me anyway.
He loves us anyway.
I mean, just those lyrics, just God really anointed those lyrics.
Oh, those are great. And, it reminds me, Jim, you're a parent and a grandparent, and so am I, and realizing that no matter what our kids do, we still love them, mm-hmm. you know? And it's so much more that way with God the Father, how much he loves us. Oh, how he loves you and me, that old song, mm-hmm. you know. And that song by Sidewalk Prophets is a great one to get going with today in our discussion of 1 John.
It leads right into
what we
talked about.
Just perfectly here. So, we are teaching the word today in the book of 1 John. Let's start with verse 9 of chapter 1. Where we left off last week in our discussion. And by the way, we do have the internet up now. Sometimes we don't have it, but we do today. And you can email us right here, and it's going to come right up on the screen in front of PJ with any questions or comments. That's your way of being involved in the show today. We would love for you, any comments or questions you have. And the email address right here is pastor@bohmglobal.com. That's our new email address, and it stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. And it's a lot easier to do and remember than spelling all that out. So we've gone to our new email address, pastor@bohmglobal.com. So you can send any comments in here right now. Let's go to 1 John 1:9. One of the verses that we're going to point out in this brief little book that is life-changing. This verse alone, BJ, will change your life.
It's one of the first I ever memorized. I mean,
as a kid. Yeah.
This was a favorite of Campus Crusade
right.
for Christ.
Yes.
And, you know, so this is, I think, the very, apart from John 3:16, which I
right.
knew as a child, I think this was the first verse I actually memorized.
Really? It's a great verse. In the King James, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Is that, I'm just from memory here.
Yeah, I'm I have English Standard. I switched when I got home from one Bible to another.
All right, read it in yours.
Yeah, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Wow, that's so cool. In the Message, it says, if we admit our sins, and that's good, make a clean breast of them. You know, that's like, okay, God, I see this. I don't want to do this anymore. Clean breast of it. Let go. Okay? He won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. I like that in the Message Bible, too, the way it just brings it right mm-hmm. home. Confess our sins, and he'll cleanse us. Cleanse us from all sin. And I think so many times, PJ, people walk around, and they don't feel cleansed because they just keep repeating the same sin all the time. So they get to the point, I think, the devil convinces them, why confess that? You're just going to do it again.
Right, right. Well, and I think confession, this is so easy.
Yes.
I made the point, I think it was last Wednesday. You know, sometimes we as humans don't feel worthy of forgiveness. We think it's a feeling, and it's not. This is, in a sense, this is a, and I don't want to trivialize it, but it's like a legal transaction.
It's a legal transaction. God, I was thinking, says, the same thing.
God says, you confess. That's right. Our part. We confess. And that means, in the Greek, it means to say the same thing as. We admit. We say, all right, God, I see what I did as sin. I agree with you. It's sin.
Right.
And then it says, he is faithful. Now, his faithfulness knows no bounds.
Right.
He's faithful. I mean, he's going to do it.
He's going to do it. Faithful, he's not going to debate it.
Right.
Not going to think it over. Well, I mean, people do that. Well, I might forgive you if I get to feeling better about you later on.
Right.
God's not like that at all.
He's faithful and he's righteous. That word just there is actually righteous. He's righteous to forgive us our sins. And we think, oh, but because he's righteous, how can he forgive me? Because Jesus went to the cross and took care of all that on the cross.
Amen.
That sacrifice that Jesus made is the reason 1 John 1:9 works.
Amen.
Is because he is faithful.
Amen.
He is just. Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God.
Right.
Jesus already took every sin we had ever and would ever commit.
Amen.
I mean, it's not like he only took the sins up to the time of the cross.
Right.
He took every sin from Adam and Eve in the garden to the last sin before the new heaven and new earth.
Amen.
And if the viewers can see, I'm like doing the almost flight attendant thing here.
Right. Yeah, you are.
But from one end of history to the other,
exactly.
Jesus took every sin. That's why he can be righteous about it.
Right.
To forgive us our sins. That's part of it. That's
right.
That's only part of it. You know, we can be forgiven, but still not be purged.
Right.
You know, we can still maybe try and carry it around. But he says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Ooh, cleansing. I mean, that's so much. It's so much better to be cleansed than just to say, well, that's okay. That's all right. But you know that it's gone. It's buried in the deepest sea. Psalm 103, David said,
as far as the east is from the west.
Yes, he said, God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah,
Praise God for that.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his
unfailing
loving kindness.
Yeah.
Yes, it's just, oh, it's huge.
And as far as the east is from the west. And
you
can keep going east forever, and you can keep going west forever.
Right.
That's how far away God removed our sins.
Yes.
And, you know, this purging, I mean, I like what you say about this verse. It's the Christian's bar of soap. I mean, it's where
I first heard that many years ago, probably back in Campus Crusade.
Probably.
I don't know.
But
it is.
It is. It's our cleansing.
Yes.
He cleanses us.
Yes.
From all unrighteousness. So we can, you know, God sees us through Jesus.
Right.
We tend to keep seeing us through us.
Right.
And by believing this verse, that this verse is true, this verse works.
Right.
We don't have to carry around the guilt.
Right.
The shame.
Amen, brother.
The dirt.
Woo.
We don't have to carry that around because it's gone.
It's gone. God doesn't remember it. And I think this is a huge point, and maybe this is for somebody out there that needs to hear this today. So often the devil comes back and reminds us over and over again of our sin and how we've messed up. And that's called condemnation. There's a big difference between condemnation and conviction.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will point it out in a loving way, and that's called conviction. Suddenly you realize, whoa, that was a bad answer I just gave, or I was mean when I responded like that. That's conviction.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your attention to bring you to repentance.
Right.
The devil will bring it to your attention to bring you to despair.
Hey, that's a good way to look at it. Because the devil is always about condemnation. He's always about, you know, just beating us down with our sin. And that's a spirit of deception. Okay? It's a lying spirit. We talked about it a little bit in the sermon this morning about the devil's attempt. It's the attempt is always to keep us from being victorious. and overcoming, you know, in this life. His attempt is always to point out our sins mm-hmm. and our failures. Jesus says, I don't even remember. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, when it's confessed and you let it go and you give it to Jesus and you go back an hour later and go, oh, I'm such a worm. I'm such a terrible, awful thing. And you're just crying out again. Jesus is going, what are you talking about? You know, he doesn't remember it. It says he is not. He doesn't remember it. It's gone. And I think it when, you know, when we come back to a situation over and over again and repeat the same behavior, I think a lot of times people think, well, there's just, I'm doomed. I'm just going to go ahead and do this same behavior because I can't just keep going to God. But it doesn't matter how many times we go to God.
Right, right. Because there was that song by the Archers.
Oh, back I remember the Archers. Yes, that was back in our day.
I can't remember the exact word, but just one drop of blood.
Right.
You know, was more than enough.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus took his blood before the Father, before the heavenly mercy seat.
In Hebrews, yes.
And the Father said, it's enough.
Right.
It's enough. Everything, every sin. Because you're right, if Satan can trap us
right
into that cycle, and, you know, like an addictive cycle.
Right, sure.
Most of us have been there.
Right.
We get trapped in that and we think, oh, I'm never going to escape. I'm never going to escape.
Absolutely.
And we just keep going back to God with this. And, you know, the shame plays into it, which just makes the cycle continue. But right here is the shame stopper.
The shame stopper. I like that. I've got to take an analogy from Weight Watchers because, you know, I'm going there again now. And for my 104th time, I guess, in my life. No, not really. But, I mean, whenever I've been able to lose weight in my life, it was in that Weight Watchers program. That's not a commercial for them or anything. However, you know when you're trying to lose weight, whether you're going to Weight Watchers or doing it on your own, and you start out the day, and by 11 o'clock, you've just blown your diet. You just ate something incredibly horrible, like a Big Mac, you know, which is my favorite hamburger sandwich.
No, I'm hungry.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you sit there and you eat that Big Mac and you know you ate all your points for today and tomorrow, mm-hmm. you know, and you're just sitting beating yourself up. And so what happens humanly is we go, I've blown this day. I'm just going to just do whatever the rest of the day. And then by the end of the day, you've eaten 5,000 calories. You know what I'm saying?
Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah. And that's our human nature. You know, when we get bogged down by, I'm not saying eating food is sin. I'm just saying when we get bogged down by whatever would destroy us, then the devil manages to come in and deceive us. Again, it's the deceiver. And just says, hey, well, you know, you've already blown it. You might as well just keep it up, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, absolutely. But again, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and I understand. I mean, we all need to get off whatever treadmill we're on.
Right.
But don't stop going to God.
Right.
Because that's your only chance.
Oh, amen, amen. And it all comes back to that song that we just played, You Love Me Anyway. No matter what, no matter, love me.
Right. Can you think of anything worse than the thorn in the crown?
Right.
The nails in the wrist.
Right.
The sweat on his brow.
Right.
Judas's kiss. What could be worse
right.
than that betrayal?
Right.
But you love me anyway. Ugh.
So true. So true. You know, and through all that, God sent his son and loved us so much that no matter how many times we have to go back and say, okay, God, forgive me. I really blew it again, doing the same thing that I told you I wasn't going to do anymore. You know, we've just got to start realizing God's great love for us, PJ. That's what I'm trying to get at.
And that is such, I know when we talked about it, maybe this is the time to interject. That's the motivation for loving God back and serving God and wanting to be like him.
Right.
I mean, you know, we're called all through Paul's letters and Peter and John and, you know, we're called to be imitators of God, be imitators of Jesus Christ. That's our motivation.
That's
because
it.
He gave everything
right.
for us. And he loves us
right.
with a love deeper than then we can understand on this, certainly on this side of heaven.
Right.
I don't even know if we're going to fully understand it.
Right.
On the other side.
Right.
But certainly in this earthly realm, we're never going to understand the fullness of God.
Right.
But I mean, we need to keep trying, but I mean, and just like that song, I mean, you know, I got, yeah, a little bump in my faith, my revelation about God's love.
Right.
Just, you know, just during that song, but it's like, that's a drop in an infinite ocean.
Right.
You know,
we've got to accept it by faith though.
Right.
And I think this was what I was trying to stress this morning in the sermon at Beacon, that all of this coming out from sins, there's a word for them, that just keep repeating, habitual sins, okay? Things that we, like worry, fear, that just keep plaguing us, that keep dragging us down. Maybe, you know, other sins, gossip, you know, lies. There are people that are habitual liars. I've known several in my life, and I'm sure you have too, PJ, that, you know, it's just the same old, you never know if that person's telling the truth mm-hmm. or not. You know, there are areas in our lives that we all struggle with that are in the area of habitual sins, you know, or sins of the spirit, where they are just a part of our character. That doesn't mean we have to accept those things as, well, grandpa was a liar, so I'm a liar, you know. No, you know, our love for God should motivate us to say, it doesn't matter that grandpa was a liar. I choose, mine was not, by the way, but I choose not to be like my ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people just put so much stock. And, you know, I love genetics. It was part of my biology training. I love that whole study of genetics and how, you know, we are such a combination of the people that have come before us. But it doesn't mean we are predestined to be those people.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, and
that's a good point, isn't it?
It is a very good point. And in a kind of a quirky takeoff of that.
All right, let's have a quirky takeoff here. Here we go, quirky.
Well, I found out that my name is the English form of Jacob.
Right. Mm-hmm. James.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized that, I understood, I mean, naming kids is a powerful thing.
It is.
And so I understood, I unconsciously took after my namesake.
Oh.
Little heel grabber, little deceiver.
Oh.
And I remember one day I said, Lord, I'm just claiming it's not Jacob, it's Israel.
There you go.
You know, because.
Prince of God.
Yeah, because I had been, even unconsciously acting like Jacob. You know, I was like, you know.
Yeah, just like that.
I was real, believe me, back in the dark ages. I was so passive aggressive, so manipulative.
Right.
I mean, I was.
Can't even imagine because you're the sweetest, dearest, tenderest man I know. But we all have a past.
Yeah. And I was Jacob.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day I just said, no, I'm Israel.
Right. Amen.
You know, I'm going to wrestle this angel down
that's
to the
right.
ground and I'm going to get renamed. But, I mean, that's it.
Good point.
You know, those things are important because you're right. They don't have to, we don't have to be predestined because of our genetics or even our name, you know.
That's exactly right. I remember as a little girl that somebody in my family said, one of my aunts, that I looked and acted exactly like what would have been my Aunt Joanne. Only thing is, she had died at 18 of tuberculosis, okay? And I remember that one of the aunts said, she is, meaning me, a spitting image of her, everything about her. Look, the way she gestures and all these things. I wonder if she'll die young. That was said. And I heard it as a little kid. And, of course, I'm still around here. But, you know, as a kid, I took that like, oh, is that going to happen? You know?
Right.
And so often we do that. People say, well, you're just like your dad, and he died at 40, you know, and you know. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, and, you know, I know I'm a lot like my father. Ray will tell you that.
Okay.
So I actually pray not to be that way.
Right.
You know, and again, with the genetics.
Right.
There's certain things that run in my family, and I'm believing that none of those are going to touch me.
Amen. Confess that.
But yeah, we just have to be able to do that and understand God's love for us. God doesn't put curses on us.
No, he does not.
He doesn't put generational things on us. We so often, that comes out of our mouths,
right.
And we do it to ourselves.
And so often, yeah, the family sits around and discusses, and pretty soon we're taking on those characteristics or that anger from Aunt so-and-so, and you're just like her, you know? Lie the devil.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, it's such a deception of the devil.
It is.
That, you know, it starts out innocent, but then we internalize it and make it a part of us when it doesn't have to be.
And the reason is, PJ, the devil is always working there to drag us down, to beat us up, to make us feel that we're going to have certain illnesses that were in our family, or that we are going to have a temper like dad, or right. We're going to have all these problems with worry like mom, or on and on and on. And the devil will use well-meaning people. I don't know who this is for today. We are just like off on this tangent, but it's a good tangent. Because in the rest of chapter 2 here, we get into the fathers, the young men, and the children, which we'll teach next week. But it's interesting that family dynamic can be so destructive if we take it to the negative and believe the lies of the devil. Whoever this is for out there today, you need to be listening carefully and break the power of those generational curses. Take authority over those things that have drug you down, that you're just like dad and you're just like grandpa and whatever.
Right. No, exactly. And I agree. I think that was for
somebody
or somebodies out there.
More than one somebody.
I think we've all been touched by that in one way or another. Like you, me. I mean, we've all had that happen to us where either somebody tells us that and we believe it, or we find it out on our own and we end up believing it.
Right.
But again, we don't have to.
We're
new creations.
Amen.
You know, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Woo!
We have to just walk in that newness.
Yes.
And a way to continually do that, I'll draw us back to our scripture.
Let's go there.
It's 1 John 1:9.
It is.
Because that way we're reminded.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You know, all things are new. That's our position.
Right.
The way we walk it out is 1 John 1:9.
Amen. We don't have to stay in those old ruts the way we've always been. Some of you out there have been in bad relationships, marriages or partnerships or whatever the case might be, where you have been abused and beat up. And, you know, history says that people tend to go look for a person like that to repeat that same behavior because they were comfortable with it. But we can break out of the mold of the past and we can get healed. You know, that's the message today, dear ones. When we confess our sins, and it can mean worry, fear, anxiety, you know, whatever it might be. But when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that cleansing from all unrighteousness can mean abuse, that cleansing that needs to happen in our inner man, in that the old memories, you know, the old tapes that run around in our head over and over again. Oh, well, I see this behavior repeating while I'm angry and you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. And that's why cleansing takes it away.
It does.
You know, forgiveness lets us walk forward. Cleansing takes it away.
Exactly.
And that's why we need the cleansing.
Yes, we
do. Because it clears it out of us.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's one, we're all so health conscious these days. I think a lot of people are kind of germophobic in that we've been seeing so much on TV about germs and the power of them. And when I go to buy a cleaning product at the grocery, I'm all the time looking for something that's antibacterial, 99.9% effective or 99.99999% effective. And anyway, against these germs and want that cleansing, you know. But if I just buy that bottle of stuff and I put it on my bathroom sink counter and it just looks really pretty, and 3 years later I go, wow, that's just nice. I really like it sitting there. But I never use it to cleanse the sink, let's say, or the tub or whatever. if we never apply the cleaner that is right there, how ineffective is the cleaner
right.
in our response in our life?
The cleaner works, but if we never use it, we never know.
There you go.
And the dirt's still there.
And it's still there. You know, the Purell. I mean, I've got two or three bottles of that little Purell in my console in my car. And because I'm a realtor, so many times I open doors that scare me just to even look at the door, let alone put the key in the lock and then turn the handle, for heaven's sakes. I'm touching all that stuff. Now, I get back in the car. I become so much aware of this now that I will reach for the Purell before I will touch my steering wheel. You know, because if otherwise I'm transferring whatever I just picked up, the creepy crud from the people who abandoned the house and left all the rotten trash and stinky maggots in the refrigerator. That does happen once in a while. I do see that kind of stuff from time to time. And so, but if I don't apply that Purell, then it's going to be transferred. So here's my point. It's going to be transferred to my steering wheel. Then it's going to be, you know, it's on my hands. It's on my steering wheel. I get out. I shake hands with somebody. Okay, we know, from being a biologist, I know how all that stuff transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the same thing with the lies of the devil, PJ. When we don't receive the cleansing, we transfer the crud into the next relationship. Let's say so-and-so beat you or hurt you or treated you a certain way. You don't get that inner healing that you need and that cleansing. It's going to be transferred to the next person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. With any sort of sin or anything, if we don't get rid of it, it's still going to be there, and it's going to it's almost like a stain.
It will.
And that's why we need to be
cleansed.
To get rid of it.
Right. So look at chapter 2, verse 1. Oh, wait, no. Last sentence of chapter 1 of 1 John. If we claim that we've never sinned, we out and out contradict God, make a liar out of him. A claim like that only shows off our ignorance of God. I love the way the Message Bible says that. Because we have all sinned.
Right.
We'd sin every day.
Well, and that's one of the points that John was making, is there were groups of supposed Christians who said, and there is actually a group of supposed Christians now, who say, oh, you know, once you get saved, you just don't sin. You know, you don't ever have to go back to God because it's all.
I started
to
make that point this morning, and I never went on with that.
It's all covered
yes.
by the blood, and
right.
it is.
It is.
Confession is not, however, for God. It's for us. So that we have the assurance.
Amen.
So that we have the assurance that our sin is taken care of.
Yes.
You know, I know it's all under the blood. But if I keep sinning, I'm just going to get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier.
Well, there has to come a come to Jesus moment, don't
yes.
you think? I believe that. And in counseling this many years, people that are just going around that same mountain over and over again, the same issue, the same heartache, and they just want to talk about the heartache. I mean, I've counseled so many people through 30, 40 years of counseling. Well, that would date me. Let's say 30-something. And I've counseled so many people who want to go around that same mount and talk about all the offenses. And then this one did that. And then this one did this. And this one did that. But don't come to a point of asking God to really forgive them for their part, let's say, and to heal the memories and to really mm-hmm. deal with that thing, you know? Or liars. I mean, this is a good example. Liars that get caught lying and then, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I lied about that. Yeah, I'm so sorry. And then next week, you know, you catch him again. And you begin to a point with the person being lied to, you don't have any idea when to trust.
Sometimes people prefer a golden calf, you know?
Yeah, like
which
Aaron.
Which is kind of what, you know, what that is.
Yes.
You know, give me what I'm comfortable with. Because, of course, they would have seen the idols in Egypt, the
right.
Israelites. So they were comfortable with that. But this God they couldn't even see made
right.
them uncomfortable. So that's why they, you know, ask Aaron to make them a god, you know, make them this calf. And
while Moses was up on the mountain.
And, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. We sometimes get very comfortable with even the worst things.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I mean, typical example is people who live in abusive, physically abusive and emotionally abusive relationships, it becomes commonplace. Mm-hmm. They're comfortable there.
Right, right. And it's, you know, that's when we need to intercede, that God move in those situations, because it does take a revelation from God to say, you know what, you can be free from this. Not right. Just free from the situation, but free from everything that puts you in this situation.
Absolutely. Which goes back and requires healing of memories. It mm-hmm. requires healing of dealing with the abuses and all of that. But putting those things under the blood of Jesus and letting him take it from there. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. That's why this book is being written here. To guide you out of sin, not to stay in it. I mean, worry is sin, doubt, anxiety, fear. And this book is being written, and that's why this series is alive with five. Because you're going to come out of so many old ways of thinking. You know, if anyone does sin, we have a priest friend or Paracletos. We were just talking about that. He's our counselor in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous Jesus. When he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good. Not only ours, but the whole world. Here's how we can be sure we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. Talk to us about that, PJ, before we get to this next song.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I mean, John says, this is why I'm writing, so that you may not sin.
Right.
You know, that's the whole goal. You need, right. you need to have an overcoming life. So that's the reason I'm doing this. But he says, but, and I love that, but if anybody does sin.
Which, of course, we all do.
Which, of course, we all do, because, you know, he says up in chapter 1, verse 10, if we say we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar.
So, right.
But if anyone does sin, here's just a reminder, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And again, that ties back in with right. verse 9 of chapter 1. Jesus is the righteous one.
And amen.
You know, the version I have says he is the, and I, you know, me, I love big.
That's hard to say.
Words.
I've always had a hard
time. He is the propitiation for our sins.
Right.
But the Greek word there is the same word that's used in the Greek version of the Old Testament for mercy seat.
Oh.
He is the mercy seat for our sins.
Right.
And not just ours, but for the whole world.
Right.
Jesus became the mercy seat.
Yes.
And that, you know, the symbolism there is just incredible. I mean, the high priest can only go into the temple one, or into the Holy of Holies one time a year, and first thing he'd do would be sprinkle the mercy seat.
Right.
And that's what Jesus not only sprinkled the heavenly mercy seat, he is our mercy seat.
Oh, amen.
And, you know, that's what that means, that the word itself means not just a sacrifice, but the whole thing is sacrifice, forgiveness, turning away God's wrath.
Yes.
You know, that's it. It knocks down everything that would bar us from fellowship with the Father.
Amen.
Because of, you know, these two verses right here, everything that could possibly stand in our way of fellowshipping with the Father has been taken care of.
Whoa, and we're getting back to that right after this song by the group Luminate, Banner of Love. Here we go.
There's a fight between my heart and soul. When my pride tries to take control, it's hard to see what I was meant to be. And we are living in a world without a cause, and there's a need that seems impossible, but I can hear, I hear you calling me to raise a banner of love up high in these city streets. One hope for all the world to see. Be my banner of love. This love is a burden. Destiny.
want to be that banner of love raised up in the city streets, one hope. Oh, some of you out there are so beat down. I just feel that in my spirit today. You're beat down by the devil. You're beat down by your past, by things that have happened to you where you've felt like you're a failure, where you feel like you have just not ever been able to be all that God wants you to be. And PJ, as we were talking just now, it just that whole concept that I was talking about this morning in the sermon about the victim mentality. Mm-hmm. There are so many people that don't realize that God loves them so much, and they can come out of this the sin of the past, you know, and not be drugged down by it anymore.
Well, that's what this, you know, I mentioned it before the song, and what a great song, by
what
the
a great
way.
Song.
I love that song. Jesus, our propitiation,
yes,
takes care of anything that would block our fellowshipping with the Father.
Amen.
We don't have to be beat down. I mean, you know, we've all done things we are not proud of. We've all done things, I'll just say it, that we're ashamed of. Things
right,
we
sure.
knew not to
everybody,
do, but we did it.
Everybody has.
And yet, Jesus, and we mentioned it before, as far as the east is from the west,
right.
as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great his love is. And in his sacrifice, in his propitiation, every block.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't just atonement
right.
that he made. It goes beyond atonement, because the atonement just rolled your sins back a while.
Right.
This takes care of it
takes
completely.
Takes care of it, praise God.
You know, and I just want to tell our listeners, if you think there's an impediment, a block in your fellowship with the Father, just make this verse personal and say, right. you know what? I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ,
yes.
the righteous one.
Amen.
And he is the propitiation. He is the
right.
total forgiveness package for my sins.
Right.
You know, make that personal. Make that your confession.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many people that get on this merry-go-round. You know how a merry-go-round just goes round and round the same circle, and you never, you know, I loved it when my kids were little, and, you know, we'd put them up on the little horse on the mm-hmm. merry-go-round, and either my ex-husband and I would, one of us would ride, and the other would stand there taking pictures and waving,
of
you know.
Course.
You've done that.
I've done
okay?
that.
Okay, and then there's the kid coming around, and there he is again, and there he is again, and there he is again, and you just keep waving because you're the mom, and you know, ah, yeah, hi. You know, and you just keep going and doing that. So many people are on that kind of a merry-go-round, Jim, with their past. I mean, it's like it just keeps coming back again. The mm-hmm. same old stuff. Oh, and then the devil knows. He knows our Achilles heel. He knows how to get to us. The thing that's going to beat us down the most. And he'll bring it back around again. He'll bring it back around again. And then we stand there and kind of like a parent, we wave at it again. And we, oh, there it is again. Instead of just dealing with it.
Right.
But so often people don't deal with it because of shame of the past, like you mentioned, or they were a victim and they want to go over how mistreated they were. You know, they cannot seem to shake that past and let it go. And the only way to victory is to shake it and let it go. It is, it's repent for your part in whatever it was. Or and let it go. It's a sin to keep revisiting the issue over and over and over again and allowing the devil to beat you up. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. And yet we do it. You know?
Old tapes. Oh, let's just get out those old tapes again and play them again.
You know, we talked briefly, you know, what's the payoff? You know, what's the payoff here?
Well, for a lot of people, Jim, it's attention.
Oh, exactly.
It's an attention-getting thing. If I go back over, it's just like the merry-go-round when my kids were little or your daughter, you know, and you're watching, oh, there they are. They're getting attention. Oh, look at you on the horse. There it is. Comes 20 seconds later. Ah, look at you on the horse. You know?
It is.
It's the same thing over and over again.
Part of the victim mentality. I mean, believe me, I can play the victim real well. You know? And, you know, you do. You get that attention. I mean, I knew how to give puppy dog eyes.
Right.
Back, you know, I mean, we're talking, you know, 25 more years ago.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've never seen your puppy dog eyes.
Long time ago. I mean, I knew how to play the victim.
Sure.
Oh, my.
Mate, feel sorry.
My partner doesn't understand me. And, you know, well, I bet, you know, you just, So it does. It gets attention. It's manipulative. But also, I think sometimes we just don't feel, sometimes people just don't feel like we're worth, you know, maybe partially attention.
Oh, that's a good point. Unworthiness.
We just don't feel like we're worthy of forgiveness. And, you
know. Whoa, good point.
But the hard fact is, you know what? We're not. In our humanness, we're not worthy.
Sure.
There is nothing, I'm going to start preaching now.
No, you go right ahead,
brother. There is nothing we can do
right.
to make ourselves right with
Amen.
God on our own.
No.
I could build the biggest cathedral. I could pray 24/7 for 10 years.
Give millions of dollars.
Dollars to the poor. I mean, none of that is going to matter.
No.
Unless I believe.
Right.
That Jesus died for my sins. We have that feeling of unworthiness. Well, you don't know what I did. You're right. I don't know what you've done.
And maybe we're glad we don't.
Yeah. But Jesus does,
but
and he's
Jesus
already forgiven
does.
You for
it. Yes.
You know, going back to 2 Corinthians 5.
Yeah. Love
you know,
that.
He reconciled.
Yes.
God in Jesus reconciled the world to himself. And this is, you know, Kenneth Copeland says this, God's not mad at you anymore.
Right.
You read 2 Corinthians 5, you find out that in Jesus, God reconciled. That means he brought us back together with
Woo,
himself.
Praise God.
He's not up there holding some hammer ready to smack you down.
And that brings healing. The knowledge of that whole concept and then putting it to practice in your life allows us to let go of the shame of mm-hmm. our past. You know, the shame of our youth, the shame of bad relationships or where, you know, we messed up and caused all kinds of problems or whatever the case may be. When we realize that there is forgiveness in Jesus and really say, okay, that applies to me too. Okay, and therefore I can let go of that thing I did in the past, you know, and regardless of how painful it was. And I, you know, we can let go and put it under the blood of Jesus. But the devil has tricked people, Jim, so much into believing that they really have to keep beating themselves. It's called self-flagellation, right? You know, where you just keep beating yourself over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, just like the merry-go-round.
Well, it's, you know, see God, how sorry I am. Okay, that's good, but then sorry is not enough. You have to believe that Jesus took the sin away.
Amen.
And, you know, stop beating yourself up because all you're doing is beating yourself up. It doesn't do any good.
I have been, you know, counseling people for a long time, and I've heard so many people in counseling where you think you've dealt with something, and 2 or 3 weeks later, they want to talk about it again, about how so-and-so did this to them, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's never dealt with. You can't really help somebody that will never really deal with things, you know? Instead, you know, it's just like your car's got a bad noise, you know, in your muffler. So you go into the repair guy and he fixes your muffler. Okay. And then you get to worry and I don't know if it's really fixed. So you go back and the guy says, well, you're hearing it again? No, but you know, you were only working on my car for like 10 minutes. And I got to thinking, I don't think you really fixed it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Silly analogy, but that's how we behave.
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, God didn't really fix it on the cross.
Right, right, exactly. Well, yeah, you don't hear it banging, do you, anymore, do you?
Right.
You know.
But we get to worrying. Oh, well, what if, you know? What if it's not really fixed, you know?
What if I'm not really forgiven?
Right. What if the devil, you know, is telling me the truth? Although when we're in the middle of that condemnation, we don't see it as coming from the devil. We have people, I know people, that blame God for all kinds of things. And one of them is that thing of, I just heard a story a couple weeks ago. Somebody said, well, God woke me up in the middle of the night and started blah, blah, blah. And it was like berating him. Really? No. No. God, the Holy Spirit, does not wake you up in the middle of the night and beat your head in so you can't sleep. if he's going to convict you of something, he's going to do it at a decent time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I mean, and again, berating is not conviction.
Berating is not.
You know, that's...
Oh, my gosh. Is it really 4 o'clock already almost?
Almost.
3:57. Wow. I cannot believe this. We are having a great discussion, PJ and I, here on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries on the book of 1 John. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to one of our services. This morning was amazing. The music is incredible. Worshiping God is such a joy together. We are temporarily in a hotel because we're looking for a new space. And but we are still in Almerton, but it's 3580 Almerton in the Ramada Inn. As you walk, look at the front of the building, just look over to the right. We have our own separate entrance. It's a nice space. It's temporary. We will be in a bigger place, hopefully, in a few months. But we are right now where God has us to be. For whatever reason, there we are. So we welcome you to a services Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night at 7. And Wednesday night at 7, the Bible study, you and I are teachers at heart, both of us, of the Word. And we just love to get in there and teach the Word, don't we?
Oh,
I mean,
amen.
Sunday's a preaching format where, you know, one of us is preaching, and it's not like group discussion and you know, asking questions. It's not like that on Sunday morning. It's a service.
Right.
But
Wednesday, on the other hand,
isn't it fun?
I love Wednesdays.
Because, it's just great.
Because everybody gets in on the action, and, you know, there's pretty much no question. No questions barred.
No, we'll tackle anything.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And we pretty much have.
We have. And it's fun. And so welcome you. We welcome you Wednesday nights at 7 to Bible study. Prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 6:15. And then once a month or so, every 6 weeks, we have another special prayer meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we welcome you. And then this radio show is live every Sunday, 3 o'clock, on this radio station. We're in our 7th year. And to me, that is so amazing. I just love the radio ministry. And so wherever you are around the globe, we welcome you to be a partner with us in this radio outreach. We don't say this very often, and I really feel like, you know, you don't have if you don't ask. And there are people out there that don't have a local church where they tithe. And we welcome you to go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to PayPal there. We have a brand new renovated website that is absolutely cool. And thanks to Maxine and George, our webmaster. And you can go there to our website and give financially. If you're not tithing to a local body and this is your church, you need to be giving God's money to God. And so, you know, that's how you do it. Give God's money to God. And so go to our PayPal. And some of you do that from other states. And give accordingly, and it will be used for this radio outreach ministry. You can be sure it will. During the show, you can email us, pastor at bohmglobal.com. Station ID, we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Boy, doesn't this 2-hour show every week go by so fast.
Oh, my heavens.
It's like we just sit down, and here we are on our last hour. We could go on, and we just love to share the word. For those of you that are just tuning in, we are in a study of the book of 1 John. This was written by John, the beloved apostle, the one that was the closest to Jesus, his brother James. James and John were sons of thunder, Jesus called them. And they were very charismatic young men, weren't they? And probably 10 years younger than Jesus, approximately.
Thereabouts.
Early 20s.
Yeah, John probably was, yeah.
John's the one that ran to the tomb and saw the empty mm-hmm. tomb first. And John is not John the Baptist. This is a different John. That was Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. This is John, the beloved apostle. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And if you're joining us in our reading, be reading in 1 John and also be reading in the Gospel John during these few weeks that we are studying Alive with Five. We got a great song to begin here. Pastor Jim, would you tell people before we do this song about our prayer ministry? And you and Carol are amazing. And tell them what you and Carol do. And Carol's one of our radio team, too. Mm-hmm. She's out of town today.
Yeah. We have a prayer ministry where you can send your prayer requests to prayers at global.com.
There you go.
And one of us, either myself or Carol, will pick the prayer up and we will send it out to our prayer team. And we always attach, you know, we'll type up a prayer with that request and we'll send it out. And the reason we do that is we are firm believers in the prayer of agreement, that we're all saying the same thing, that we're all praying the same and believing for the same thing. And we have seen miracles.
Oh,
we have seen healings.
So much.
We have seen just financial miracles. I mean, it's
you've
just,
got a notebook yay thick of answers to prayer. I mean, crazy.
And we do encourage people, you know, if you get a prayer request and it gets answered, send us a praise report, because I like to keep those. You know, I like to keep those in my little special box in there, my little folder.
Right.
Because it's so important, because then I can, you know, take those back and I can say, oh, listen, I got this praise report from so-and-so. They got healed of whatever. And it's just really important. But the point I want to make is prayer works. We believe it works.
Amen.
Send in your prayer requests. We'll be more than happy to pray for you. We
absolutely
love it.
Absolutely. 24/7, 365.
Amen. And we will get those out to our prayer team. If you want to become a member of the prayer team, you just send that request also to prayers@bohmglobal.com.
There we go. Listen to this song by Michael Fry, Be the Center. Praise God. I love that song. Be the center. Oh, and that's what we're talking about here in 1 John chapter 2 today. about how Jesus, the life of God, has got to become the center of our lives. And, you know, when we come to a point in our lives where we realize, wow, I need some healing. I need some, I need to have my life recentered, you know. I need to have that focus changed in my life, you know. So often our focus, Jim, is on the past. It's on the negativity of the past or family interaction that can just absolutely drag us down.
Right, right.
You know.
And John says, no, no, no. I've got some tests for you.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear about the tests.
Yeah,
Pastor
well, I mean, all through the book of 1 John,
right.
He talks about the test of love.
Yes.
The test of obedience.
Right.
And the test of truth.
Right.
You know?
I'm writing those down. I forgot all that. Yeah, tests.
You know, and he actually starts it right here in verse 3 of chapter 2.
Okay, go with that.
And by this we know that we have come to know him.
Right.
If we keep his commandments.
There we go. If we.
If we keep. When John was writing this, there were a lot of groups out there who said they were Christian, but weren't. They were sort of half Christian or pseudo Christian.
The Gnostics, right?
The Gnostics, kind of like the New Age movement today.
Right, right.
They would take bits and pieces of the truth, but not the whole truth, not the whole word. And as we go through this, I mean, there's some very specific tests that, you know, to show whether that somebody was a true believer. One of which was, you know, did the Messiah come in the flesh?
Exactly.
You know, that was
there's
one of the
a lot
tests.
Of people today that call themselves Christians, quote unquote, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is really the Messiah and
right.
that he's just a good teacher, a prophet, a nice guy from a long time ago. And they don't really believe when you pin them to the wall that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I've been in discussions with people like that. Oh, yeah, he's great. Oh, yeah, Jesus. Yeah, I know Jesus. Wow, yeah, Jesus. But when it comes to everyday living and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, different.
Well, it's safer.
Uh-huh.
The teacher Jesus is safer than the Messiah Jesus.
Exactly.
Because the teacher Jesus is just one of us, one of the gang.
Uh-huh. Right.
Messiah Jesus is a whole different story.
Exactly.
And, you know, I love the quote by C.S. Lewis that, you know, he says, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it right in front of me, but to call Jesus a great teacher is an insult.
Right.
Because if you look at what he taught, either he was crazy or possessed, or he really was the Son of God.
Right.
He didn't give us much of a choice there.
Remember Josh McDowell in our days of Campus Crusade, you and I, he said Jesus was either a liar,
a lunatic, or Lord.
Or Lord. One of those threes. He was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord of all. And you got to come to that point where you realize, wait a minute, this is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it came out of the tomb a risen Lord. That's the whole test, if you will. Becoming a Christian is Romans 10, 9, and 10. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart,
right,
Jesus is the Son of God, and God raised him from the dead, then you're saved.
Well, exactly. And John, you know, John follows up on that. He says, okay, this is how you know. Do you follow his commands? And then
right.
he goes on to say, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar.
Liar.
And the truth is not in him. That's pretty strong. I mean, and I think sometimes, you know, I have that more doctrinally conflict. I mean, normally I avoid conflict. Set me in a room with somebody who's a heretic and you will see me go.
You want to define heretic for some people? Because they may think it's a tick on a dog.
Yeah, heretic. It's a heretic.
Yeah, H-E-R-E-T-I-C. What is a heretic, Pastor Jim?
Heretics would be somebody who professes to either be or have been a Christian, but has strayed from the truth.
Right.
Has gotten away from the truth. And as much as I don't like the term fundamentalist because it's been so maligned.
Oh, absolutely.
I do believe in the fundamentals of the faith.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know we both do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, unfortunately, the word fundamentalist.
Yeah, it gets a very bad rap.
But I believe
far right wing, you know, something or other.
And yeah, well, I'm pretty much not right wing, but I'm still a fundamentalist in the faith. You know,
right.
the Bible, we talked first thing, you know, God breathed.
Right.
Jesus, God in the flesh.
Amen.
Belief in the Trinity. I mean, all
yes.
those things.
Yes.
And that's
the
what
foundational
John.
Truths.
Yeah, that's kind of what John was writing this about. Some people said they were Christian, but apparently weren't obeying God's commands. And so, you know, John says, wait a minute. If you love God, if you're going to call yourself a believer, you'll do what God commands.
And that's the second test right here, obedience.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're going to have this song in a little while, I Surrender All. And we ended up closing our service today with that. Didn't plan that. That's how the Holy Spirit leads. But when it comes right down to it, Pastor Jim, if we are going to be the driver of the bus, so to speak, in our lives, we're going to miss out on all these wonderful blessings. We have got to give up control and lordship of our lives to
Jesus.
Jesus, we've got to do it. And so many people are so controlling. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, it is just everywhere. You know, people have, I've got to have it this way, got to have it this way. And they get all bent out of shape if it doesn't go their way. And control is sin because we have got to give up control of our lives to the lordship of Jesus. Quit trying to drive the bus, so to speak, and allow God's Holy Spirit to do the work in us and change us and allow him to run our lives, surrendering ourselves to him. Go ahead.
No, and that's so true because chances are we're just going to make a mess of the whole thing.
We always do. That's human nature.
Yeah, it's best to submit to God and let just, you know. And I mean, from my own personal life, those who have ridden with me will understand. I have to confess my sins as I drive. Because I get pretty upset.
If I see
people doing stupid things, I get upset.
I don't because I drive all day, so it doesn't bother me like that. But I have other issues, so we all have.
But what I've learned to do is, okay, you know, say traffic's really slow. Yeah, Lord, you know I'm frustrated with this, but I place it in your hands. You got a plan. And I think of that song, Angels, Amy Grant. I don't know what accidents I'm missing or, you know, how God is protecting me in the slow traffic. But that's a really good example because I just have to, I can't change this and I'm just going to leave it in your hands, Lord.
Right.
You know, because some things we have to understand, we can't change everything that upsets us.
But what we're talking about is a active Christian life where we are talking to God day in, day out, all day. We have that communion where we're saying, okay, God, you know I'm late for this appointment. Can you open a path here for me to get there? And sometimes I have to do that. But at the bottom, at the other side of this is there's so many people that are just, quote unquote, Christians because they don't want to go to hell. And we call that fire insurance, right? And is that true salvation? And you and I both don't believe that it is. There has got to be more to your salvation experience than fire insurance. That is, it's got to be a daily walk with God.
Right, right. And, you know, fire insurance, yeah, it'll get you into heaven. But why not enjoy the ride?
Wow, yeah.
And the only way to do that is to walk with God.
Right.
You know, instead of fighting him all the way or just not caring.
Right.
You know, some people, I think, figure, I'm going to get saved and then not do anything about it. Well, what fun is that?
Well, I've had so many of these. I probably have had 7 or 8 Mustangs in my life, okay?
And I am so jealous.
I know. I've had some great Mustangs, and I really don't have one right this moment, but I may again someday. You never know. The last one was an 04, and it was a red convertible. You've probably seen pictures of it. It was just absolutely gorgeous. 40-year anniversary edition. Okay. Now, when I went to buy that car, if I just walked in and said, okay, I want insurance on this because I don't want something bad to happen to it, you know? But, you know, because it's so gorgeous, it was this most beautiful candy apple red. You know that candy apple red color. Mm-mm. With a tan leather interior. Oh, yeah. Nice car. And so if I said, this is a gorgeous Mustang, I love it, it's a 40-year anniversary, I'm going to put insurance on it, and I'm going to put it in my garage, and I'm going to cover it up with a sheet so that nobody scratches it.
What good is it?
What good is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do that, and I have a lot of memories with my grandchildren a few years back because I love the Beach Boys from that was our era, right? When they would come down, we would put the Beach Boys tape in, and we would go to the beach and with the top down, and we'd be singing at the top of our lungs, and my grandchildren remember that car and remember the joy of all that, but we got sand in it, you know, that we got out of the car and we threw a football, and, you know, we have those memories. We used the car. It did not sit in the garage. And then, of course, in the downturn of the economy, I had to sell it financially. But still, that's the point. Our Christian life is so much fun. That's my point.
Exactly.
When we really get in there and throw the football and get dirty and get sand in the car and drive down the streets singing at the top of our lungs, you know, California Girl or whatever. Bob, 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 Brand. But anyway, go
okay.
But I know
what you're saying. It's like, yes, the fire insurance salvation
right.
will get you into heaven.
Right.
But, you know, why not enjoy the journey? And, you know, God has so much for us.
Right.
Just along the way, things he shows us. I mean, you know, we talk about the 30, 60, 100-fold return.
Exactly.
Just our growth as a Christian.
Yes.
The things that God can do for us, do in us, do through us.
Amen.
You know, I mean, that's kind of the way he works. He'll do things for us. He'll do things in us.
Right.
Which is important. But then he starts to do things through us.
Ooh, praise God.
You know, he starts to use us to minister to other people.
That's that 30, 60, 100 right mm-hmm. there for us. In us
and through us.
Yeah.
And that, praise God, that just came.
It's true.
But, you know, we're created for his glory.
Amen.
You know, we're not created to just sit around and hide our light under a bushel. Jesus said, let it shine.
Amen.
Let it shine. Go forth and let it shine. And here, John says basically the same thing in a different way. If you love him, you'll do what he says. You'll do
Absolutely.
His commandments.
And you'll reach out and you'll see a need and you'll try to meet it. Or you'll see somebody that needs an arm around their shoulder or $10 in their pocket, and you'll do your best to meet it.
Right.
You will be active about your Christian life.
And John addresses that exact thing in chapter
right.
4.
He does, yes. And so it is all about obedience. It's all about getting to a place where we realize that we cannot change ourselves, but God has to do it in us,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I love your analogy with the 30, 60, 100, and that's back to Jesus said that, you know, some seed falls on the ground and da-da-da, it bears fruit 30-fold, 60. 30-fold is similar to our salvation experience. That's what it's all about. 60 is when we move on with God, and we say, God, I want everything you got for me, Holy Spirit baptism. And then we get over to that 100-fold realm where we are walking in the blessings of God, and we are touching lives. So it's for us, that salvation. That was great. That's super wonderful. I'm going to write this down. For us, in us, the Holy Spirit begins to cleanse and change us. And then through us, we become that amazing manifestation of the glory of God on this earth. Oh, that's all really good stuff. We've got to go to this song, I Turn to You by Selah, however you pronounce it.
Selah.
Okay, whatever. I call them Selah. I don't know. Whatever they are, it's a great song. I Turn to You. Listen to this and come back for the rest of this hour with us.
When I'm far away from home, starts to blow. When I'm empty and alone, I turn to you. When there's hardness in my heart, and I can't see the truth, and I'm wandering in the dark, I turn to you.
Jesus, that's what I do. I turn to you. That's what the purpose of all this discussion on 1 John is about. We can't fix ourselves, PJ.
Right.
But he can.
And he does.
And he so does. Let's look at verse 9 of 1 John chapter 2. In the Message Bible, it says, anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. I never got to this part this morning with my sermon, but hate is so not of God, and it will cloud our judgment every single time. And people can say, well, and go on their little holy rant. But hatred is not of God in any format.
Yeah, and John says plainly, if you hate, you're in darkness.
You're in darkness.
You cannot call yourself a Christian
right.
and hate.
You cannot. That's deception. It's mm-hmm. a lie of the devil.
It's a lie of the devil.
Yet I know people, and you know people, that hate. I know people that hate the gay community. I know people that hate because of color.
Yes.
I know people that hate because somebody's different or somebody has done something awful to them in their mind. And so they hate, you know. And John is very clear here. Hatred is the opposite of God's nature. He is not. He has no hatred in him.
Well, and to think, this just came to me because some people say, well, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. They,
right.
You know, Ray and I watch ID, Investigation Discovery, all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people on there, and I actually have been prayed for these people sometimes.
Wow. Is it a reality show?
Yeah. No, it's like true crime stories.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll never forgive this person. I can't forgive them. And you know,
if it's not a ball game, I don't watch much anymore. But go ahead.
but I just get so touched because I know these scriptures and it's like, then you're in darkness.
And
if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven.
Right.
And you know, well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, you know what? It just hit me. When John wrote this,
right,
he was probably the last of the 12 to be alive.
Right.
Everybody else had been martyred.
He had seen his fellow disciples martyred. Peter hung upside down on a cross.
Paul beheaded.
I mean,
Andrew crucified. I mean,
James with a sword, right?
James was beheaded by Herod,
right,
his own brother. And yet, John says, no hate.
No hate.
No hate. Because hate is darkness.
You know, every once in a while you see on the news, they come on and they say, newsflash, you know, so-and-so. Here's the mother of this this person who was murdered. And she gets up and she says, you know, in the court of law, you know, during the penalty phase or something, I forgive you, says to the perpetrator, I forgive you. And the news says, golly, how could she forgive? Well, if you are a born-again Christian, that is our responsibility to forgive.
It's what we have to do.
And it's a news flash on the news. Right. It's like, whoa, she forgave.
It's not a choice. I know on, I listened to a, sorry, gang in there. I listened to a different radio station on my way to work and back.
Uh-oh.
I listened to a Christian radio station.
Oh, I was going to say, you better be careful what you're saying here.
And they had actually on this lady whose daughter was killed by a drunk driver.
Right, kind of an example.
And she forgave him,
right.
And he got saved because of it. And now the two of them travel around talking about forgiveness.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, it's a mark of a believer. And it's easy, especially as we see the end drawing near. We know,
right,
times are not going to get better.
Right.
You know, I don't care how many Kingdom Now and Reconstructionist people say, oh, it'll get better before Jesus comes. No, it's not going to get better.
It's
going
worse.
To get worse. He said it was going to get worse.
Right.
And, you know, but Jesus also said in Matthew 24, because of the increase of lawlessness, and I know I catch myself. I mean, I think our former landlady still lives in Chicago, and Chicago has just become a battlefield.
Right.
You know, there's so much lawlessness there, but yet I see it here too. You know, we see lawlessness here, but Jesus said because of the increase in lawlessness, the love, the agape of many will grow cold.
Right.
That's a warning, because then he follows up with, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved.
People get cynical. They is like, you know, get, yeah.
Well, and we get bitter. We think, oh,
bitter.
You know, we lose our love. And, you know, John, of course, we go through 1 John. He's so big on love.
Right.
And not hating.
Exactly.
And you know, Jesus said, basically, if you're the one who gets saved is the one who loves.
Right.
Till the end. Because otherwise, we get so bitter. And bitterness breeds self-centeredness.
It is. Bitterness is horrible. And it's a gateway. It's like a gateway drug, marijuana mm-hmm. being a gateway drug. Bitterness is a gateway to unforgiveness. Of course, that's part of it, too. But that resentment, you know, that just gets down in there and it just causes hatred and ugh.
Well, and it takes us away from God.
Yes, it does.
You know, I mean, obviously, if we're in darkness, we're not walking. We go back to chapter 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light.
Right.
We have fellowship.
Amen.
If I'm in darkness, it's going to be hard for me to have true
yes.
fellowship because I'm in the dark. I'm
right.
stumbling around in the dark.
Right. Absolutely. And there's no excuse to hate, because there's nowhere that the scripture says, okay, you can hate for 12 months and then at the end of that, you're going to have to forgive. Or you can hate all your life and then the last moment right before you die, you can say, okay, I forgive so-and-so. We are not given that. Remember when Peter, erratic, charismatic Peter comes to Jesus and he said, well, how many times do I have to forgive? Seven? I have to forgive seven? You know?
Yeah, Peter thought that, oh, look at me. I'm so great. Lord, I'll forgive them seven times.
Seven times. And then that'll be the cutoff. And right there, that's the end of forgiveness. Jesus said, are you kidding? It is seven times seven every day for each offense. I mean,
right.
Come on. In other words, there is no limit to forgiveness. I mean, seven times seven, 49 times a day per offense, per person.
Uh-huh. It's 70 times 7.
70, I'm sorry. 70,
490 times.
70 times 7.
And again, I think the number is symbolic of just forgive for everything.
For everything.
You know.
Infinity. I mean, you got to do, and Forgiveness, one more time, people, does not mean you agree with what happened to you. You do not have to agree. Let's say something awful happened. Maybe your child was killed by a drunk driver. You are not going to ever think that was okay. So forgiveness does not mean you agree with the offense. It does mean that that person doesn't owe you anymore. They can't make it right. And it's just like Jesus forgave us all of our debts. We couldn't make it right.
Right. And it's not that he said it was ever right, what we did.
No.
But we could never make it right. And he said, okay, you're right. You can't make it right.
Can't make it right.
But here's the replacement, my blood.
He paid a debt he did not owe.
I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
And now I sing a brand new song.
Amazing grace.
Christ Jesus
paid the debt that I could never pay.
So he paid the debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay.
Right.
And Jesus said, okay, I forgive you, And that's the same here. We have got to walk in forgiveness. Hatred, there is never an excuse for hatred, no matter how bad the action taken towards us is.
Yeah, and I mean, Jesus being the best example, we're told we can be angry. Be angry, but don't sin.
Right, right.
And, was Jesus ever angry? Absolutely. Think of him in the temple.
Yes, he was.
When he drove out the money changers, he was angry.
Right.
And he had a right to be. He said, how dare you make my father's house a den of thieves?
Exactly.
And so it's okay to be angry, but nowhere did Jesus hate.
No.
Nowhere. And, I think that's really hard for some people to understand. I mean, even on the cross, he looked at the Romans who had nailed him there and said, Father, forgive them.
Right.
They don't know what they're doing.
So we have to come to a point where we surrender our quote unquote right to hate,
mm-hmm.
our right to be vindictive and mean and nasty because somebody treated us that way. We have to surrender that right.
And our right to self-rule.
Oh, the right of self-rule. Yeah.
Because I even go so far, I remember those signs, God is my co-pilot. And I remember seeing another sign, if God's your co-pilot, you're sitting in the wrong seat.
I like that, yeah.
Because co-pilot's kind of like second in command.
Right,
well,
yeah, exactly.
God needs to be the pilot. We need to be sitting in the co-pilot seat.
Absolutely.
And, that's important, but it means giving up our rights, and people don't want to do that.
They don't. It's the control thing. I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to do whatever. I know that you and I both have been in the ministry for so much of our lives, and we have been betrayed over and over again. I can't even begin to tell you the number of times people have turned on me or have actually outright lied or whatever the case may be. And as a young pastor, because I started pastoring at 37, it was really hard for me, and that was just a few years ago, as you can imagine.
I know. Yeah. It was only, what, 10?
Well, I don't know, whatever, yeah. But, it was hard for me at first, Jim, the first time that I felt betrayal, that I felt like, wait a minute, misunderstood, lied about, gossiped about, and it was like, I got to set the record straight, And the older I get, of course, the more I realize that's just part of life, and in the ministry in particular. There will be betrayal. There will be family members that turn on us. The scripture says that. There will be people who despitefully use us. And Jesus said, leap for joy. In Matthew 5:12, he says, leap for joy when you're persecuted. When people treat you terrible, you should be happy that you are allowed to be persecuted like Jesus was allowed.
No wonder his family thought he was out of his mind. that turns the world upside down. It turns the world on its head. Things like that, to love when we're hated, to turn the other cheek, to forgive.
Oh, absolutely.
That turns the world upside down.
What did the disciples do? They turned the world upside down, but they didn't start out having all these concepts nailed down, just like James and John. Jesus called them sons of thunder because
that one time, apparently they were a little bigoted and had a little hatred in them.
A little bit of bigotry going on there.
Because they were going Jesus was going, had to travel through Samaria, and he sent some people ahead to it to let them know that Jesus was coming. And the Samaritans at that point just weren't having it. So James and John said, well, do you want us to call fire down from heaven on them just like Elijah did?
Right. Kill them all.
And, you know, Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of.
Right. You know, that's not of God, in other words.
You know, that's not what I want you to do at this point. Right. I mean, we know, yeah, these men were sent to kill Elijah, and he did call fire down from heaven and destroyed two companies of 50 soldiers.
Right.
But the amazing thing about Elijah was the third time the man said, look, I know you've already destroyed two companies. Don't do that to me, please. And God said, go with this man.
Right.
You know, so they just weren't, all they saw was, oh, wrath.
Right, I mean, right.
How dare they?
Oh, and you know what? And by the way, we still have internet up here if you want to comment on all this, because this has been a great discussion, a great show. It's pastor@bohmglobal.com. It's in front of PJ right here, and we can grab your question. pastor@bohmglobal.com. There are so many people that get burnt out on the ministry. They get tired of being mistreated or lied about or betrayed or whatever the case may be, and then they just walk away, you know, instead of learning the power of forgiveness, the power of turning those incidents over to God and letting God work out the situation. They just get bitter and walk away. And that's not the answer, people out there who, I don't know who that's for. That's for somebody out there. You can't just give up and walk away because you've been hurt or betrayed. That's just normal in the ministry, let me tell you.
Yeah, and to forgive somebody actually unbinds them, the other person, so that they can experience God's forgiveness. Not only do you finally get to experience it,
right,
but so do they. You might, you know, that kind of opens that flow for them to be forgiven.
Amen. There's never an excuse for hatred. There's never an excuse for retribution and vengeance and anger. But
vengeance,
I tell you,
is mine, saith the Lord.
I tell you, it's preached in our pulpits across this nation a lot. Hatred, and especially of people that are maybe not familiar to some of those that are preaching. Or, I mean, it's just really, it's sad that is allowed to happen. Because John is so very clear that one of the true tests of knowing if you're a child of God is, do you walk in love? Do you walk in love?
Verse 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him, in Jesus, ought to walk the same way that he walked.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
If we say we're Christian.
Right.
And we abide in Jesus.
Right.
We need to walk the same way that Jesus walked.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm sorry, you look through the Gospels, you find out how Jesus walked. What did he do? There's no place where he, you know, oh, I'm sorry, the people are hungry.
Yeah, I'm not going to feed them. I'm mad at them. Yeah.
Or you, a Roman centurion, are asking me to heal your servant? I don't think so.
No, instead he goes, I'll heal him.
It's like... You know, he didn't say, you're not one of, you know, you're not Jewish, you're not one of us.
Right.
So no, or the Syrophoenician woman.
Right.
She was a Gentile woman.
Exactly.
And he said, you know, she said, look, even the dogs get the scraps that fall off the master's table. And Jesus said, you know what? Your daughter's healed.
Exactly.
You know,
leper, do you want to cleanse me? Sure, I want to. I will.
Yeah.
And it's not, and a leper was somebody that shouldn't even approach Jesus.
Exactly. And
shouldn't even have been within a few feet of him.
Right. And instead, and Jesus laid his hands on him. And instead of, the miracle
praise
is.
Praise God.
Instead of the leper making Jesus unclean, which is how it should have gone.
Right.
Jesus made the leper clean.
And that is exactly. Oh, that's worth a bell. That is exactly our responsibility. We have got to reach out to the lepers, reach out to those that are, quote unquote, beat down and burdened by their sins of the past or whatever. We have got to be that light.
And no matter if they're different,
praise God,
or not.
Right.
You know, no matter if they're different or not, because Jesus, he didn't let the fact that, you know, in first century Jewish culture, you just didn't mix with other people.
Exactly.
Samaritans, Gentiles, whatever. And yet he did. You didn't mix with tax collectors or prostitutes. And he did.
And he did. And a few years ago, people would say, black people, no, they're less than. They have to have their own drinking fountain. They have to have their own restrooms. They can't be a part of us. They have to have their own church. They can't be. We have black folks in our church, and they are such an asset to our ministry. And now it's the gay community being beat up. Oh, and so, you know what? People, we have got to reach out to each other in love, whether somebody is different from you. PJ, we're preaching today.
We are preaching.
You know, we're preaching today, but we got to get this point across.
Well, and that song that Casting Crowns sings.
Yes.
About Jesus, friend of sinners.
I love that. I almost put that one on today.
That's one of my favorites. And it's so true. And
yes.
And I know, you know, I'm sure Mark Hall has ideas about some of the stuff. But listen to what you're saying, Mark. It's so
right.
Cool. I mean, it just the words. It's like, you know, put down the picket signs.
Right.
Cross over the lines and
yes.
Love like he did.
Love like he did. Oh.
And we're all called to do that.
Yes.
I mean, I know our presence at the Pride Parade, you know, there's always people there shouting. And I know, you know, I love it because I won't argue.
You don't argue. No.
I'll just come and say, you know what? We're here doing the same thing.
Yeah. We both love God.
We both love God. We both want to see people say, we'll let God work on, we'll let God
right.
work on the individual after that. But the main point is, let's get him saved.
Let's get him saved. We've got to surrender. We've got to come to a place where we lay down our hatred. We lay down our picket signs. We lay down our anger and resentment, maybe passed down to us or in that is festering on the inside of us. And we've got to surrender. We got to do this song. I love this song by Terry McCallum, I Surrender All. It is an old song, hymn of the church. Listen to it. You're going to want to sing along. It's going to change your life. Praise God. Lord, be glorified in your people. We surrender the things in our lives that are not pleasing to you. We surrender the hatred, the bigotry, the unforgiveness, the resentments. And we say, Lord, do a fresh work in your people and cause us to be the loving Christians that we need to be. And I mentioned this morning again, but my dad, pastor, evangelist, missionary, a planter of churches, wonderful man who's with Jesus along with my mom now. My dad would always look at us, my sisters and I, when we were little, Jim, and when we were acting up, he would come right up to us with his finger and he'd say the same thing. Sweet, kind, and lovely bee. And it was like that was his admonition to us, that that's what he expected out of us. And it's been passed down to our children, you know, that is the way to be. That is the way to behave. Mm-hmm. Sweet, kind, and lovely. We don't have an excuse to be rude, to be unaccepting, to be unforgiving, to be hostile, to be judgmental, to be critical, to be controlling. We don't have a right to be that way if we call ourselves a Christian, which means little Christ and the anointed one. We don't have a right to be like that, do we, Jim?
Exactly. I mean, we talked about giving up our rights.
Right.
As you
got to surrender.
Exactly. Just like the song said, we
yes.
have to surrender because that's surrender is the path to true greatness.
Amen.
In the gospel.
Surrender
Jesus
to win.
Jesus surrendered. Yeah. Jesus surrendered.
Yes.
And if he hadn't surrendered.
Right.
We'd not be saved.
He basically. Surrendered on the cross.
Yeah. I mean, and even struggled with it. I mean, surrender's not an easy thing.
Think of
Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he said, Father, if there's any other way.
Right.
And I honestly believe Jesus knew already there was no other way, that this was going to have to happen. And he said, if there's any other way, but.
That just shows the humanness. He was walking around mm-hmm. in a human body, and he really didn't want to have to go through that.
Who would? I mean, right. he knew the pain that was going to happen.
Right.
And he said, but not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
We each have to come to that point where we say, not my will, but yours be done. And maybe it's, you know, little thing at a time, one little thing at a time. We just give that to God. And pretty soon, you know, we'll look back, look at all those little things we've done and be amazed at the progress
Amen.
That we've made.
Right. And I think so often people get hung up on trying to be, quote unquote, super Christian, you know, all at once. And it's not like that. It's a daily walk with the Lord. You just said that. A daily giving this situation to God. Okay, God, wow, this is overwhelming. I don't have an answer for this. And he's going, yay, all right, you don't have an answer in your own flesh. And then it's so big, it's so huge, and we have to give it to God mm-hmm. and let him do what is best for us.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And he loves that.
Well, yeah, and
obedience. We're back to that.
We're
love
back to obedience.
And obedience.
Love and obedience.
Right.
It's all about, you know, where we're going to be headed the next few weeks in this study.
Right.
It's all about that and
yeah.
surrender.
Yes.
You know, and John himself had to surrender some things. I mean, we talked earlier. He was pretty fiery. He had a short fuse on him. And yet, you know, when we think of John, we think of the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Right.
We think of, you know, little meek, mild John.
Right.
That's always kind of been our picture. But he wasn't always that way. But yet, God did a work in John and changed him.
Right.
From, you know, let me call fire down from their heads to, you know what? We got to love.
It's all about love.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about love. It's all about obedience, love, obedience, and truth. And that is so, and we're going to see these tests in this series. So we really want you to join us on a weekly basis. And there's such a cool thing that we have because of our wonderful engineer, Cedric, in there, in that he records these shows and you can't see us in the studio like you can right now, but you can hear the whole show with the music and everything. And he gets those to me in an email format. It's amazing technology. And then we get it up on our website in a few days. Our webmaster's actually out of town for a few days this week, so this show probably won't be up till about Thursday. But normally they're up the next day. And it's a joy to be able to go back and listen. Some of you, you can, if there's a show that's really ministering to you, we've got years and years of shows on our website because we have a big server and we got a lot of content and tons of shows. And so we really encourage you to go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go back and listen to some of these shows. What a blessing.
Amen. Amen. And as Pastor likes to say, you know, if you wake up in the middle of the night, can't get back to sleep, go listen to one of our shows. Not that it will put you to sleep, because I can guarantee
it
you
won't.
It will not.
It won't, no.
But just, you know, if you're up, let God minister to you through...
Amen.
You know, through the radio ministry.
We need to get as much word down on the inside of us, children of God, as we can. Because that's how you fight the devil. Revelation 12:10-12 says we overcome, we fight, we resist the devil through the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony means we have got to change what we say. Mm-hmm. And we not only have to confess sin, but we got to confess what God says about us. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know, that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. All those principles have got to start pouring out of us.
Right. We are more than overcomers through Him who loved us.
Amen. And there's so much truth. And we started this show with the truthfulness, the veracity, the strength of the Word of God. And I think that needs to be our final thought here, PJ, as we get ready to close out in this 2 hours that went by so terribly fast, is that it's all based on the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1 says the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, the Word.
God.
With God, and that's Jesus. And when the final days come in the book of Revelation, Jesus is going to have that banner, the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That's His name. That's who He is. So when you declare the Word, it is written, and you say that about your circumstances, you're declaring what God says about you. And there can't be anything more powerful than what God says about you.
Amen.
Give a final thought here before we wrap up.
Yeah, just to follow up on that. You know, are you sick? Find you some scriptures on healing and make them like I did earlier. Make them personal.
Amen.
Do you feel unworthy? Well, find scriptures that relate to that and how you have been made worthy in God's eyes. Make those personal.
Amen.
I mean, you know, that way, like you said, Pastor, it begins to flow out of you. It begins to grow inside of you.
Glory.
Who you are in Christ Jesus and what all He has already done for you.
Amen. And if you don't know where those scriptures are, you can email PJ or me. We call him PJ because that's easier to say than Pastor Jim. But his email is PastorJim@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com or our new email, PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com. For me, you just reach me at Pastor because I had that before Pastor Jim came along. So it's pastor@bohmglobal.com. And ask us for verses. We'll send them to you.
Absolutely.
We'll email back and forth with you. And that's PJ's thing. He loves doing that. You have questions about scriptures? Write him. He will respond. PastorJim@bohmglobal.com. We invite you to one of our services Sunday morning at 10:30. And then, of course, this radio show is live every Sunday afternoon at 3, from 3 to 5. And we don't have an evening service because we do the radio show. But then on Wednesday night, we have a very interactive, wonderful Bible study and prayer meeting. Prayer meeting at 6:15 every Wednesday night and Bible study at 7. We get out around 8:30. We welcome you. A lot of people have to come straight from work so you can bring your sandwich. Yeah, we
absolutely.
Have tables. We all sit around tables on Wednesday night, and it's a format of teaching and interaction, interactive Bible study. So we welcome you to join us every week if you can. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we'd love to have you. This has been Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my wonderful associate pastor, and Pastor Marcia McAllister bringing you Words of Life this week on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to Jesus. God bless you. See you next week live. Bye-bye.
From the love of God, He's always there to hear our prayer and answer when we call. It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will
to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far from me to Jesus. It's not far.
Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.